Is the spirit of Christmas beginning to fill you? Amen. I invite you to be seated. Our service is a little bit interesting this morning, not only because we brought in new members, which we haven't done in a little while, but how about that scripture reading for that first set of scriptures? I was going to have Larry and Ruella do it, and I thought, we better not do that. They might not join after all. Make them read all those. All those readings, what was that about? And they jumped around. It was so frenetic that you noticed I had to just label it as various passages there. But did you hear them? Did you listen to them? There was a theme in there. Were you paying attention? Did you catch it? Genesis, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. Abram, Sarai blessed and become Abraham and Sarah and a son Isaac. And Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed. Isaac means they laughed. Then in Judges, this is one we don't hear ever. I've never heard this read in worship. It's not part of our lectionary. Samson is not a piece that we deal with best often. But Manoah and his wife, she's never named. But they are childless. And they have a son, Samson, and Samson will become a great and powerful leader. Second chapter of Luke. You know, we were talking about Elizabeth and Zechariah and the baby John. They're old. They're an old couple, and that the story there is full of richness, and if you want to take time, read all of what happens as God interacts with Zechariah and Elizabeth and makes Zechariah mute. Takes his voice away for a period of time, but they have a son, a special son. We know him as John the Baptist. All of these mothers that are childless. Yes, that was the theme. If you didn't catch it, then if you didn't catch it, now you know. I had to ask a question as I was reading these and studying these. Why do you suppose God put it so late in life? I mean, if I'd had babies at my age now, I would die. Colin, we watch you with Caleb and Grace and your kiddos, and just the energy and you keep up with them, and God bless you. And I remember those days. I don't remember ever sleeping. But how would you take 90-year-old? How many of you at 90 would be ready to raise babies? Oh my goodness. Why do you suppose God waited? What was all of that about? But consider Abraham and Isaac, for example. Abraham and Isaac, he is leading the new people. God has called him out of his home and called him to the new place. And calling him and has promised him progenies. And he says, well, I can't. Elizabeth is barren. Sarah is barren. I have no children. So Sarah brings her handmaiden, Hagar, says, here, bear children through the handmaiden. And they have a son, Ishmael. You heard Abraham mention that. He says, thank you for the blessing of Ishmael. And God says, oh, no. Ishmael, yes, is your son, but you will have another son, Isaac. Sarah is going to bear a child. And if this had not happened this way, you realize that Isaac fathers, and that we find the 12 tribes of Israel. Ishmael and his lineage become all of the 12 princes of the Islam. That this is the two major religions, and all of them are Abrahamic. An amazing thing, and something we need to remind our world of. We're brothers and sisters, closer than you can imagine. Hannah, the fourth mother. Hannah is interesting. I mentioned to you that Hannah and she's being teased unmercifully by the other wife, Peninnah. It is a painful time, and it's hard, and she struggles. And so she goes to the temple and pray. We didn't read all this, but she goes to the temple and she's praying in silence. Eli, the priest, sees her lips moving. He thinks she's drunk. He goes to run her out. She says, no, 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 I'm praying to God. Oh, what are you praying about? Oh, childless. Oh, Eli is not 100% on the ball. And in fact, Eli has a family and has sons, and all of the sons are scoundrels, is the word the Bible uses. Scoundrels. They're in the business for what they can get out of it. They're not holy people at all. They're naughty. What term did you just use? But these cannot inherit. And God is sure of that. Make sure of that, because here comes Samuel. Hannah prays and says, if you will give me a child, I will dedicate him to the temple. Now, that's kind of troubling to me. I don't know. I mean, how many of us would give up our child? That's a hard thing, but we have to understand, too, that the need to make progeny, the need to have children, was powerful and important. And Hannah does not stop loving the child. And in fact, we'll hear later in the scripture that she repeatedly goes to the temple to bring new robes to the boy as he grows. So he's growing up there in the temple, but she is there loving him, nurturing him as best she can. And of course, the mother that we haven't read then, that of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, that's the other mother. That's the last one. And when Mary finds out that she's going to bear the Lord's Savior, she gives us the Magnificat. That's what we read this morning. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And she sings that. Scholars are pretty firmly convinced that this is actually Hannah's song. The Hannah that was in the temple that was praying that Eli saw and thought she was drunk. This is Hannah is saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. But the words are delivered here by Mary as well. Echoed, repeated, reaffirmed. Can you hear Hannah in the Magnificat? It's an interesting piece. And it isn't just, thank you, God, for giving me a child. There's a lot in the Magnificat. He has looked on the lowliness of his servant. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones. God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. All of these are words in that prayer from Mary, from Hannah. So hear the blessing, another blessing of God with a child, a mother with a child. Now, we don't know if Mary's womb was closed. All of the other women that we've listed, first off, they were all fairly wealthy. Think about Abram and Sarah. They have all of this cattle, all of this entourage, all of this following. They're pretty wealthy people. They are not serfs. They are not the poor. Same is true of Hannah. Same is true of Manoah and his wife unnamed, as they have Samson. These are people that are at least middle, upper class, that are wealthy, that are of high import, if you will. But here is Mary and Joseph. What do we know about them? Well, we know that after the baby is born, do you recall, after the baby is born, they are warned by an angel, and instead of returning home, they go into Egypt and live there because the king wants to kill them. They are poor enough that they can travel with what they have on their back. These are not a wealthy people with an entourage. These are the poor. These are the indigent. These are the sojourners. And sojourners they are into Egypt. And their place there reminds us of the importance of showing hospitality to those who come. But there's an odd thing about Jesus and Mary and the baby. We don't know if Mary is childless, and we'll know that she has other children later. But there's something different that happens here. Not only is it a poor family of low estate, the child born in the barn. Out in the stable, there's not even a bed, there's not a crib. They have to use the food trough for the animals, the manger. This is a different sort of birth. This is would have been quite in contrast to all of those other special births. Jesus is not like any that have been before. So what God is doing is God is doing something again, but in a new way, a special way. This is one that will change the world. Certainly, we can say that about Samson. We can say that about Isaac. We can say that about Samuel. We can say that they were important, but these were historical people that did important things and then lived and died, and we can remember them and celebrate them. But here is one that comes but once, and who has always been the eternally begotten Christ, and who always will be, and who changes things forever. The temple worship, the gathering of the priests, and the intermediaries of the priests. In that time, people went to the priests if they had prayers, and the priests would pray to God. You had to go through the middleman, if you will. And yes, it was men at that point in time. That's gone now. Through Christ, we have a direct connection to the one who sits at the right hand of God. No more burnt offerings. No more making atonement monthly, weekly, yearly. For here is the atonement of all time, for once and forever. So God has done amazing things in history. Abraham and Sarah calling them out of their homes to travel to the promised land and giving them Isaac. And then the son Samson, and then the son Samuel, and son John. These special gifts to the world. But here is the gift of God to all of us for all time. Today we pause and celebrate God visiting down upon Mary and the child who is the visitation of God on earth, the Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen.